listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello everyone, glad to be here.
Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening everyone, always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degrees in a variety of metaphysical topics like coaching, counseling, healing, hypnosis, etc. Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. So I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are 9 of them. This sets the tone for our weekly service. The first one is do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded version of these 9 principles, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome all those joining us live tonight. We've got a lot of people in the chat room, it looks like. And we also welcome those who are listening to the archive version of this program. We appreciate your time. Tonight, the topic we're going to explore is the power of laughter. And Michael is going to get us started with that.
Well, thank you. And really, the power of laughter is incredible. You know, the power of laughter, of humor, comedy. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, the effect it can have on our lives. So, you know, tonight I'd like to talk about laughter and the power it has to heal and to really put balance in our lives. And we're gonna kind of talk about it in 3 broad aspects. Now, the first aspect I want to really talk about is the power that laughter and humor has in our personal lives. It's truly immense, the power that it has to help us fight our depressions, our anxieties. It has the power to take these seemingly enormous things that, come up in your everyday life. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's in the family, you know, it could be anything, but it's this situation that seems immense, it seems massive. How are you ever going to deal with it? Well, if you interject a little comedy, a little laughter and humor, maybe you exaggerate the situation or you go off, you know, and you make jokes about it, you make light of it, it makes the thing smaller. It takes the impact away. It puts it back in its proper place. It adds context. It adds balance. And this is something that I've used extensively in my life. I have always turned to comedy, comedians, movies, books, television, what have you. It's been a bit of an escape for me, and I've incorporated it into my own bit of worldview, trying to look at the humor in something, look at the laughter in something. It's been a tremendous tool for me personally to deal with my own issues of anxiety and depression at times. And You know, it's about being positive in your daily life and seeing the humor in everyday life. And it doesn't have to be a comedian. It could be an animal that does something funny, a funny occurrence. One time I was walking out of a hotel. It was packed. There was a long line of people waiting for a taxi. I'm trying to get to a taxi myself. Somebody's flagged it for me. I'm walking with a, you know, quickness to my step towards this taxi, and I got my luggage, and I hit a wet patch, and I slip, and I go down hard, and I couldn't help but laugh at it, because it's hilarious. How could it not be? And it's those things, and I'm going to take this from a comedian, Pete Holmes, hilarious. He has a phrase. He says, you got to cash your happy checks in life, you know? You gotta enjoy it. You know, that's what we're here for. Live your life. So,
I'll tell you, when I really had to start appreciating the humor side is when I went into menopause. Oh, you cannot take that stuff seriously. It's like losing a thought in the middle of a sentence, and I say, oh, it's an M&M, a menopausal moment. I'll be right back. And 30 seconds later, it'll come back to me. But
I'm not touching that.
But it's true. I appreciate everything that you've been saying, Michael. It's to lighten up about ourselves, and when we take things to heart or take things too personally, I think, or we're too easily embarrassed, we're too easily offended, too easily in the negative, and to lighten it up, lighten your heart, lighten your mind, and see that, you know, life doesn't surround just us. It's everybody has those moments, and to just see the humor in it.
Exactly.
And it's contagious. Other people will do it too.
It is. Isn't it so, well, really wonderful that somebody can just start with a good belly laugh and just, they can't help themselves, they're laughing so much, and you can't help yourself, you start to laugh too, and you have no idea why. It's just contagious, like you said.
And well, I've often even said something when I've done something really dumb. Oh man, as long, you know, I'm putting the sugar in the fridge, or I'm, you know, I can't believe I put the cheese in the cupboard. You know, it's like, oh, I'm having one of those days. Well, you know what? Everybody has those days. And keeping in mind, as I'm older, I worry about a little dementia. But we have those moments when we're 15, 20, 40, you know, we all mm-hmm. have those moments. So we have to keep perspective and not worry so much. It's just, oh, too many things going on at once. Got to stay present, get back present again. But when we do those kinds of dumb things or fall on our butts, you just got to laugh at it. It's funny. And I got to tell you a story. Not everybody is like that. And I had occasion once, a friend was cutting down a tree, and I said, it kind of, I'm having a little flash here that it could land on the car. It will not. I know how to cut down a tree. I said, okay. Sure enough, the tree landed on the car. And I started laughing. Oh, somebody didn't think that was funny. Well, then that made me laugh even harder because I thought it was funny. They didn't think it was funny. But anyway,
so
Dr. Angie says menopause is a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's true. It takes one word and people leave you alone. It's true enough. But that, I think the point here, though, is to lighten up and see there is humor, an upside to, and I, as much as we don't see it in the moment, even the darkest of moments, there is a flip side of that coin.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of my darkest moments are, you know, moments of grief. I use humor, even if it's, you know, dark humor, to cope with it. It lessens the load, and it puts things back in their balance when you realize its context. You know, it makes it seem smaller again. But
even if no one understands you.
Exactly.
They don't have to.
Exactly. You know, I used to have a comment, it's not about you, I'm just trying to make myself laugh. But
there you go.
But, well, and that kind of brings me into the next topic, where we use laughter, we use humor in interpersonal relationships. And, you know, I just mentioned, you know, anytime I'd bomb with a joke when I was at work, I would just say, oh, that one wasn't for you, I was just trying to, you know, I just play it off. But it is real and true, the power that comedy, that humor, that laughter has in building teamwork and having healthy relationships, both romantic and platonic. And again, it's about not taking yourself too seriously. And when you have a sense of humor about yourself, you're able to laugh about yourself. You don't take yourself too seriously. You all of a sudden have a different energy. You have a certain confidence and assertiveness, and that, people pick up on that. And when you are like that, you don't take yourself too seriously, you can find that you work better in a team, and people are, more apt to work with you, more apt to work with you well. I know it's critical, and, well, it has been for me, in preserving relationships, and, it's an incredible teacher. Humor, it has a way of breaking down barriers to teach lessons that is truly remarkable.
I would only inject Dr. Angie again saying in the chat, she has trouble laughing inappropriately. and she's laughing at herself, but there's nothing like being the only person in the room laughing and joking about a crisis. And I think that is just something to take note of, is to, have a sensitivity about...
Oh, absolutely.
Empathetically, that if somebody is going through a crisis, that's not necessarily the best time.
Well,
you could wait 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, the old phrase, you got to read the room,
Yeah, exactly.
But everything has a time and a place. And really, when we talk about laughter and humor, it's a lot of ways bringing balance to life, because usually in those moments where you need it, the balance is tipped too far towards the darkness of the angst or anger or, irritation, any of those things. You use humor and laughter to bring it back into balance. Too far the other way, though, and, in the sense that you're not respecting a moment of... Some things are sacred, especially in certain times. You have to... read the energy of a room. You have to know when
menopause.
It's appropriate.
But, don't laugh at me when I'm in menopause. Thankfully, it's long gone. But I can laugh at me when I'm in menopause. Don't you laugh at me when I'm in menopause.
You got it.
Yeah.
Good rule of thumb. But, it's really remarkable. It's one of the redeeming qualities of humanity, truly, in my eye. Our ability to laugh and the humor and, the art of comedy and, putting together, crafting a joke or a novel idea. It's being able to look at life with a critical eye and examine, traditions and things that sometimes we hold sacred for no particular reason, which really kind of takes me to the third kind of broad point in comedy. We talked about how it helps us in our personal lives, and we talked a bit about interpersonal relationships. One of the biggest ways that laughter, comedy, humor impact our lives is on the grand scale. The fact that humor and satire and all of these things has not only the power to hold those people in power to account, it makes us challenge our notions of, why are we doing this? Is it just because it's always been the way we've done it? And you kind of examine it with a critical eye. You make jokes about cultural trends, society. It's reflective. And that's a very healthy thing for a society. And go ahead.
No, I was just, I couldn't agree more. I think that there are some really good examples now in past and present, but of comedians who take on topics that, you go, we kind of cringe, but it gives us a whole new perspective, and we can see a different side and see a humor in it. And
yes.
I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, that's it. Exactly. Absolutely. And, it's taking something and turning it on its head so you can examine it. You can look at it from all angles. And that laughter that, a lot of times some of the great comedians are in, not always the most popular, but the truly great comedians are really philosophers in their own right, and that they have a critical examination of the human experience. There's so many names that come to mind, but George Carlin had an excellent way of...
Oh, wow. Great man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, he used the humor to, break down your preconceived notions, it would break down your barriers, and you could maybe learn a lesson, you know, maybe impart an idea. And that's a lot about what laughter and humor is, too. It's
Robin Williams, another
one. Oh, my God, yes. Amazing. And
Ricky Jarvis is noted. I know people say his name differently, Gervais or Jarvis. He really tackles a lot of subjects head on, and a lot of controversy. But what he does is he makes people think, mm-hmm. like him or not. It's that thought-provoking. George Carlin in his day was challenged a lot as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in hindsight, you can see more of what he was addressing. I find that most of these comedians have really brilliant minds and an insight that isn't commonly looked at during a trend in our social times. But what they're doing is exactly what you're saying, Michael. They're turning it on its head, seeing it from a different perspective, and then delivering that, and we're going, what? but when you catch on to it, you say, wow, that I never thought of it that way, and that's really funny. But it's not funny, but it's funny. It's the way you said it's funny, but, oh, the subject's not funny.
Oh,
they're serious, but it's funny. And you get this kind of dialogue going on in your head about it's thought-provoking, and that's the beauty of it, and some of these people that, thankfully, they have a following, and they're out there, and I think there's a lot more who haven't had a break, and we don't appreciate in our daily lives also, whether it's the guy down the street or, you know, somebody in our community, but they have that kind of insight, that turning it around and making us see a lighter side. And again, taking on some of the hardest topics. Mm-hmm. That is great, though.
Oh, yeah. And it really does have a real power to really change and shape societies and cultures. You know, one of the most famous examples is, was the great comedian Lenny Bruce. He really challenged the notions of morality, modesty, when it came to how he delivered his comedy, the language that he used, at times vulgarity. He challenged the status quo of the system at the time. And, you know, comedy has been a part. It's not necessarily the sole driver, but it is an important part of these things that drive, you know, social changes. And,
you know, you talk about social changes, probably none other greater than Ellen at the moment.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Wanda Sykes is another. Largely, and I have to say this too, again, a lot of people are persecuted for stepping up to make those social statements, if you will.
Uh-huh.
But thankfully, there's enough people to embrace them that, you know, it kind of brings it into our consciousness and we start becoming more accepting and a more, I don't want to say tolerant society, because I don't think it requires tolerance. I think it requires an empathetic understanding of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they deliver to us is, and it ties us right back to what we were talking about in your point number one, Michael, is for us to review ourselves. So in these stages, whether it's dynamic with others, whether it's on the larger scale, it does make us look deep inside to say, whoa,
mm-hmm.
I think I need a check-in.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
It's great.
And, you know, I'm so happy you brought up, you know, comedians like Wanda Sykes, because I was about to say also that, you know, comedy has been an important avenue for advancing gender equality. And, you know, these
absolutely.
Pioneers like Joan Rivers, who later in my life I came to realize what an impact she actually had in comedy, being, you know, one of the very first female comedians that became successful in the way that she did it.
Wow.
It was remarkable.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, female comedians have gone back throughout history. You know, obviously Lucille Ball and I Love Lucy was the show of its time, and she was a creative force behind that. And they paved the way for other people like, you know, Ellen and Wanda Sykes and some of the great comedians that we have today. Cara Burnett, I was walking through the house and Cara Burnett was on TV and I'd forgotten those old episodes, and it's utterly hilarious and it's
Lucille
fantastic.
Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You know, and again, I love this discussion because very often, and most often, we are involved in really serious discussion of consciousness and awareness, self-awareness, and doing our self-work and analyzing ourselves and our conduct and, you know, what's life about. But if we don't have humor to complement that study and that pursuit of who we are, then we're minimized. And that's why I really appreciate you having this topic tonight, Michael, and bringing it up, and that we can have this reminder to ourselves. It's great.
Oh, yeah. And laughter is just one of the things that makes life worth living and makes the world an amazing place. And as metaphysical humanists, we examine the existential things of life, and this is a big one. You know, it's the lighter side. It's how we deal with things. It's being able to look at the darkness and laugh at it and take its power away.
But, okay. You know, Dr. Angie just said in there, she said, isn't George Carlin the one who also makes fun of religion? She said, I find him hysterical, but if you're religious, you might not like the humor. That's a really interesting point to bring up, Angie, that we find humor based on our worldview. I don't appreciate really redneck, sexist, racist humor. I don't, and yet there are people who like that. To me, it brings harm. But if it's provoking thought, even if it's a topic that's uncomfortable to me, I'll still appreciate the message. So I think that's where there may be a line if we're analyzing it, as Michael's saying, as metaphysical humanists, where do we draw a boundary for ourselves? Other people are really radical in their boundaries of what they will and won't listen to, and persecuting before they understand, before they think about it. Again, there's some humor I don't, they call it humor, I don't find it particularly funny, but I can appreciate it. As long as it doesn't bring harm, as long as it doesn't promote harmful behavior, or you know what I'm trying to say, Michael.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just anything that doesn't denigrate others.
Exactly. Well, and you know, comedians, they can be masterful at provoking thought and using what at first glance might seem to be harsh rhetoric to make you think about a subject, or they're coming at it from a sideways angle and it gets into a deeper level. But I think what you're also addressing is kind of that base level of where you're ridiculing somebody. You're punching down, as they say. In comedy, the rule of thumb is you punch up. You know, you make fun of those in power. You know, you always punch up, you never punch down, because you don't make fun of those that are, you know, handicapped. You don't make fun of those that are, you know, less advantaged in life. You just don't do it. That's ridicule, and that is the darker side of things. And people are laughing while they're doing it, but there's nothing light about it. It's evil through and through.
Unless you're the president walking up on the plane with toilet paper stuck to his foot. And it only comes to mind because Wanda Sykes does a little thing on that in her recent Netflix special, and how nobody told him. And she thought it was really funny that nobody told him. Oh, you see that? Yeah, I see that. I'm not telling him. And you see where it's really at the expense of somebody. But again, there's the humor. She opened it up to talk about how anybody else is, well, wait a minute, you got toilet paper stuck on your foot. Here, I don't want you to get embarrassed. I'm going to fix that for you. But this guy, no, she said, no, he's got toilet paper stuck to his shoe. Are you going to tell him? No, I'm not going to tell him. So, again, there's the lighter side, even though it is kind of poking fun at somebody.
Well, there's everything in its place and everything in balance, right? You know, I would never begrudge somebody who laughed at me taking a tumble in front of the crowded hotel lobby because it was funny. It's okay.
Unless you hurt yourself.
Well, okay, if I break both my legs, then, you know, you can laugh later. But, you know, call the ambulance first. But, you know, I would also be remiss if Dr. Edward made an excellent point in the chat that Laughter, according to neuroscience, causes the brain to manufacture certain chemicals such as neuropeptides that travel to cells and are beneficial overall to the body and psychological state.
Excellent point.
It is, and it was actually something that I had in mind to touch on, too, that it laughter and humor do have physical benefits in the sense that, you know, from, let's see, a psychologist, Maud Purcell, she wrote an article where I was reviewing a few things, the benefits. It releases endorphins, which reduces pain when we laugh. It strengthens our immune function by producing more T cells. And it decreases stress by, you know, releasing chemicals that release or that lower cortisol and puts us back into a relaxed state. There are numerous actual physical benefits of it, and I think that was a great point to make. Thank you, Dr. Edward.
Well, 30 years ago, I have to include something. 30 years ago, in 1989, it was the summer. Where was I at? New Orleans. And I was at a conference. It was for office equipment called NAMDA. And we were in a seminar. There was a seminar there being held. It was about an hour long. And it was being handled by or taught by Ed Foreman. Maybe you've heard of him, motivational speaker. Excellent. That had been one of the best I've ever been to. And the name of it was How to Have a Good Day Every Day. And we're there, my colleagues and I at the time, we're sitting in the front row as normal for me in seminars. And anyway, he's going along and one of the things he's talking about is how important laughter is. And so he says, this is what I want everybody to do. He says, I want you to stand up and for about 15 seconds, I just want you to laugh. Laugh as hard as you can. And so everybody kind of did that. And he says, okay, go. And so everybody laughed for about 15 seconds. It was okay, you know. All that, and everybody quieted down, and then he says, you know, I know you can do better, and he says, I want you to laugh, and he called it, you know, what do you call it, Michael, you just used the term,
belly laugh?
Well, belly shaking, gas passing laughter is what he talked, was what he said, you know, and
that was,
so
was more
everybody did it again, yes. Everybody did it again, and it was a lot bigger, you know, and everybody was laughing, just laughing. And when everybody was done, you could tell you felt better. You just felt better. And that was the point, you know, every day, you know, do some of that, I forget what the term, belly shaking, gas passing laughter, you know, just laugh, you know, laugh your head off at something, at anything, at nothing. Just do that.
Oh, I think
all right, that's the end of it.
So. No, that's great.
Yeah. A lot of good points.
It is. It's a great topic, Michael. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for bringing it up. Yeah. It's good timing, too. You know, we are inundated with all kinds of stuff out there, and it's just good to have that reminder. I'd like to also remind anybody who would like a card pulled this evening from our Inner Oracle self-discovery cards, please put your name in the chat room and Michael and I will be happy to accommodate you here. So, you know, I could really come up with a lot of stories, but I'm the first one to admit that humor was something I had to learn and relearn. I mean, I had humor as a child, but when you're raised in a difficult environment that's oppressive, it takes the humor out of you. And as a lot of people I know who are listening can appreciate, that seriousness can, and again, it's necessary in the self-discovery and a healing process. But I had neglected until much older, like well into my 30s, to really appreciate, to reincorporate that humor back into my life. Don't get me wrong. I had humor in my head. I didn't always get it out right, and I didn't always share it for fear of, you know, again, something negative happening. And so even though for those who are listening who have a difficult time with humor, just a little at a time, as much as you can, and lighten up in yourself and bring that, embrace that into your life. At least 5 minutes a day, that turns into 10 minutes a day, five times a day for 5 minutes each, you know, just that little bit. And you start to lighten up. And talking from experience and someone who didn't always know how to do it or do it right, it does change your life. So we have cards to pull. Michael, how would you like to pull one for Dr. Edward?
I would be happy to. And I've been absentmindedly shuffling these, so they are truly random. All right, Dr. Edward. Pull number 35. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
That's awesome. I like that one. Fran, you're up next, and I have number 7 in the wild card suit for you. We haven't pulled this card in a long time, and it's hope. I like that. And I appreciate you picked the card for the room, but I think we'll save it till near the end. And so meanwhile, this is for you, Fran. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it's the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. And well, we know that you know that, but what a good reminder. And at this moment, in whatever way that resonates with you, Fran, it's hope. That's your message today. Dr. Darlene is up next. Michael?
And for Dr. Darlene, I pulled number 26, energy signature. And I don't really recall pulling that one in a little while either.
No.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
I like it.
A good one.
Now, Sherry, I have number 38 for you, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Little reminder. You know, and sometimes if a card comes up for you, it may not necessarily just apply to you. It could apply to you trying to understand someone else. Do you know? It's like you're perplexed about someone else's behavior. And that is, that's something I hadn't thought of for that individual, so I'm coming to understand them. So it can, in whatever way, these messages resonate with you. And again, I say that to not take them to heart all the time, but and too personally, it can be just in your perception of others also in what we're learning, because what's inside is outside, outside is inside. So we have so many different ways of viewing ourselves and the world around us. So I just wanted to throw that in. Now, I know that Fran selected number 37, groundedness, for us. And I think that's kind of what, you know, we've been talking about, is grounding ourselves into being multidimensional people, if you will, and not to go too far out anywhere, but remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure truthful conclusions. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you've considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. You know, and sometimes that requires some humor. I guess that was what I was trying to get at, is, you know, when we say, oh, man, I had a belief, I got to ditch that. That sucker's not working for me anymore. And, you know, I'll never forget, and I think my oldest daughter was probably in her 20s, close to her mid-20s, and living in another town. I phoned her up one day, and I said, you know, when I told you blah, 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 and she said, yeah. I said, delete, 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 because it's a whole bunch of crap. She goes, what? I said, look, I changed my mind. Now, what you do with that, that's up to you. But I used to believe in these things. I'm not so sure it's so good anymore. So I'm just sharing some of my revelations so you get the, you know, the benefit of it. And at least she could see the humor of it, and she was used to me. But as I came into, you know, greater, wiser, more, maybe, I hoped, I would share that. And hopefully when, you know, each of my kids would move on through their life, you know, that's maybe a reputation I would get, and that's okay. I was just sharing my insights. But seeing the humor of it is, oh, man, it's invaluable not to take it seriously. Because we all think we know something until we find out we don't at all.
All right.
There we go.
Good points. All right. So that's a lot of good points tonight. Great discussion on the power of humor and laughter in our lives. We talked about hope, which is always a good thing, and energy signatures, open-mindedness, and groundedness. Excellent points. So we thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Those of you who are live, we appreciate your time. Those listening to the archives, we appreciate your time as well. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, as always, and Michael Kelly as well. And until next week, folks, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.